You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Bed, Bath, and Beyond. Turn to 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. He said he sent his guys, he stays in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed. So we're going to start with the bed first. Sometimes it is better for you to stay in bed. And if you get restless, married or single, I'm not saying you should be lazy and stay in bed, but people get in trouble by getting out of bed and then getting back in bed with people they're not supposed to be in bed with. You say, well, that's just how I roll. That's my life. That's my experience. And again, how is that working out for you? Get control of your bed. If you're in it with a spouse, stay in it with that spouse. And if you're in it with someone who's not your spouse, get them out of that bed and find a spouse if that's your deal. Get the things working between you and God and, you know, let him lead you to someone, but get control of your bed. David's first mistake is he wasn't out working at war where he should have been, where everybody else was, but he gets out of bed. He's thinking about something. Something's going on. He's restless. Then it happened one evening, David arose from his bed, walked out on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. So now we've got a bed, now we got a bath. A woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, now this is how much power David has. David can send people and say, go find out who the woman is that's bathing down there on her roof where I can see her from my roof. I want to know who that woman is. So now you got people involved, other people involved. So they go and find out, and someone said, someone speaks up, and this person who speaks up very clearly and says some very important thing. Look at what this person says. Is this not... And it's unfortunate that her name is Bathsheba, but it just is. Anyhow, is this not Bathsheba? This woman has a name. This is a person. This is not something to possess. This is not something to take and throw away. This is a person. And if that's not enough, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Now she's not just Bathsheba. Now she's got a daddy. She's somebody's daughter. Then the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now she's somebody's wife and names the guy. I think the person personally who put all this information out there, like, dude, you don't want to do this. Whatever you're about to do, she is a person. She's got a name. She's a daughter. She's a wife. Do not do this. Then David sent messengers. I love that it's plural. Sends his peeps down there. And took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. So, now, I don't like people who get up and read the Bible and conjecture. There are places, there are rape stories in the Bible, bad scenes. At least there here is no record of Bathsheba saying no, screaming for help, whatever went down there, whatever power he had, you know. The timing of this is unbelievable. What is this woman doing out bathing on her roof? Okay, I don't know, you know, outside shower or whatever deal she had going. The king's up here, she's here. This is just too freaky. And the timing of it is monthly, we'll just use that word. I wasn't sure what word I would use, but in her monthly process, she's at a perfect point where she can be bathing and seen by the king and called up and everything's a go. Because you're not violating any Jewish law. I'm always fascinated by people who want to keep religious code, but still sin. People who can come to church are shacking, but oh, we're not going to miss church. Wow, that's brilliant. If I hit anybody, don't raise your hand. That'd be terrible. Well, I know we're doing the wrong thing, but we got to go to church. Why don't you think about that when you're doing the wrong thing and ask God what's working there? Keep reading. So this goes down. She comes up. They do the deal. She goes back to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Now we got a problem. Then David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. So now David's like going, I got a problem. She's pregnant. So what is the solution? He sends to the battlefield and says, get this woman's husband home. Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, this is Bathsheba's husband, David asked, how you doing? Yeah, this is a great conversation. I slept with your wife while you're out where I should have been. And how are you doing? And how the people were doing, and how the war prospered. What's going on out there on the battlefield? You tell me, then I'll tell you what we've been doing here. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house, wash your feet. So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. So now he's really working this guy. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying Uriah did not go down to his house, now what's the point of this? Go down, sleep with your wife, we'll say it's your baby. David said to Uriah, did you not come from the journey? Didn't you come from the front? Why did you not go down to your house? And Uriah said to David, listen to this man. This is a man. The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? Is that where I'm really supposed to be? It's not fair to my troops, not fair. You brought me back for some reason, I'm here, but I will not go and do with my wife in my house what my troops cannot do. As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. Looks at the king and says, not going to happen. Then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. So now, usually men are trying to get women drunk to take advantage of him. Now David's trying to get Uriah drunk to take advantage of him. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. Even drunk, he wouldn't go down to his house. In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Uriah is carrying his death sentence back to the war. Look what happens. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people and the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Now a guy is dead because of adultery. People say, well, no, that's not going to happen to me. We got this all under control. Now here's what I'm not going to do. If I sat in this room, if you know what this feels like to be in this spot, stand up. There are a ton of men and women in this room who know, it's not just men, it's women who know exactly what this is about. And it is very painful. All the fun, all the bait, all the allure, all the racing heart, all the crazy great intimacy goes right out the window when it collapses. Then Joab told David all the things concerning the war and charged the messenger saying, now he's got Joab knows what's going on. When you have finished telling the matters of the war to the king, if it happens that the king's wrath rises and he says to you, why did you approach so near the city where you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Was it not a woman who cast a piece of a millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Tebez? So in other words, there's an example of this. Some woman drops a rock and kills a guy. So why did you go near the wall? Then you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went, came and told David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us, came out to us in the field, and we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword, look at his rationalization. Don't be upset about this, for the sword devours one as well as another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. So encourage him. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband, which she's supposed to do, so she did. And when her mourning, and by the way, she probably did, because that's what it says. When sin starts to collapse your life, the pain of all these things starts to come up, and then the fun is gone. It evaporates just like that. Now you say, well, why would you read a story like this? Because we are all on the verge of collapse. You say, no, I'm not. I've got a great marriage. I'm faithful. Nothing like that. You are surrounded by the enemy. And you say, well, you think that's other men? Is that other women? That's the shadows. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. You have a real enemy, and his target, one of the biggest targets in hell that they practice on the range, is marriage. You want to shack up, hell will leave you alone. You want to get married, now they're coming after you. So Bathsheba mourns, and when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now go to 2 Samuel 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city. Nathan's the prophet, by the way. So God sends his prophet. There were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food, drank from his own cup, lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it, killed the baby ewe lamb, prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger, so the king gets furious. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this, he shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. You the man, David. You're all upset about the story. I told the story and you are the person who's done this. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite. You say, well, he didn't kill. Yes, he did. He sent him into harm's way where he would die. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the look at the consequences. Now, this, please, if you've been through this, now there's going to be a little encouragement. It may take a minute, but it's coming. We got a bed. We got a bath. What is beyond all this? It is going to be chaos. And if you are living in sin, got a problem with sin, you're struggling with something, you say, well, I have immunity. I'm not going to have consequence. I'm going to get away with this. You don't get away. There is always consequence. So whatever is coming, whatever is beyond the sin, you have to buckle up, get locked in and say, okay, God, whatever this is, I will weather this storm because in Jesus' name, there is help beyond the consequences. There is beyond. Now, why am I hitting this so hard? Because there are young men, there are young women. You're going down this road. You're thinking, well, I can do whatever the world's doing, then I'll throw down, get married, it'll all be okay. It's not gonna all be okay if you make chaos of the process. You can make choices along the way. I read one commentary who calculated that David is probably about 40, 50 something years old. He's restless. He's looking around. He's like, okay, what's going on? I didn't go to war this year. So who's around? Idleness, looking around, focus, pay attention, go home, go get in your bed with your husband, with your wife and stay there. You say, yeah, but that girl at the office, she is so stinking hot. She's 20 years younger. My gosh, you can't expect me not to notice that. And then the reverse is true. Oh, he's so nice. We go to lunch and he just asks me all about my life. He doesn't want to sleep with me. He's so sensitive. He cares about me. Told me I got my hair cut and he said, your hair looks great. Oh, my husband didn't even notice that. He doesn't want to sleep with me. And you wake up in some hotel going, I think he wants to sleep with me. And then you have to explain to your kids and everybody in the world what was wrong with your bed. All right, let's keep going. So the consequence, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. You have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. It's interesting to me, he never says the word Bathsheba. It's always about Uriah the Hittite, Uriah the Hittite, Uriah the Hittite's wife. This is about Uriah the Hittite, a man who has lost his life, lost his wife over some king's sin. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly. Now, if you want to underline something, underline verse 12. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel before the sun. And see, part of what's so great about sin, and by the way, sin is amazing. It's tantalizing. It's exciting, right? Oh my gosh, we could get caught and we're sneaking around and we're doing and we're smarter than everybody. It's all secretive. And then all of a sudden, it's not a secret anymore, is it? Everybody knows. On TV, they go to commercial. In real life, you got problems. Keep reading. Now, this is where the beyond kicks in. So David said to Nathan, and this is where it starts to turn around, and you've got to understand, you've got to get to this point. Finally, David says, I have sinned against the Lord. Do you see who he sinned against primarily? He doesn't say Bathsheba, Uriah. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. You've got to take it to God, and that's where the beyond starts to change. So he finally confesses that he sinned. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin and you shall not die. Huge mercy. Because he's committed adultery and back in the day, that was deserving of death. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Tells him straight up, the child that you just conceived will die. Then Nathan departed to his house. David, therefore, pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of the house rose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. So David arose. Now look at what happens. He's tried everything in his power, fasting, doing everything, praying to God, save this child. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself. Another bath going on here. And changed his clothes and went where? Into the house of the Lord and worshiped. It is not as far as you think from confessing your sin to worship. The devil will say, oh, you can't go back to that church. Those you get around those people, they know what you've done. We got people coming in here who just get out of prison. We're not going to throw you out. If you go down, confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you for sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get your butt back in here and let's pick up where you left off and worship. Because that is the only way you're going to make it. You cut yourself off from God. He will never cut himself off from you as a Christian. But if you cut yourself off from him and go try to figure this out with your buddies, your friends who might have helped you get in the mess in the first place, you're in trouble. You cannot do this alone. You're not intended to do it alone. Keep reading. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then the servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. You're just like back to normal. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. So he takes care of business with God. He deals with his sick child. He worships. He comforts Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and look what they call his name, Solomon. Now, this is what completely freaks me out. Out of all of this mess, this is why you don't give up on the beyond. Because you don't know what God can do with your pile of crap. God has a way of saying, is that all you got? That's all I got. He shoves a seed in your pile and it turns out to be the most fertile ground on the planet and something good comes of it. So I run these traps. I say, okay, what's up with this Solomon thing? He becomes the king of Israel. It's unbelievable. Nobody likes Solomon. So I say, okay, God, well, what went wrong here? Was Uriah going to get killed on the front anyway? Then David would meet her at the grocery store and, you know, then they'd get married anyway after she mourned and this kid's born anyway. And he messed it all up. That was your plan anyway. I don't know, but it's so crazy to me that no matter what I do, no matter how screwed up I am or think it's over, there is hope. You've got to realize there is hope. And God can stop any of this stuff. And he doesn't sometimes. He allows it to roll. And then you get into these messes. And then he says, okay, now what are you going to do? And are you going to trust me? Are you going to see beyond the bed, the bath? Are you going to see beyond all this and realize I can take this and bring some good from it? Yes, there's going to be consequence, but let me use even your mess. And so you sit at work with someone and you meet some guy and he's saying, oh man, I'm having trouble at home. And boy, that girl, oh, she is hot. She's hot. I think we're going to go to lunch. And then the Holy Spirit taps you and says, talk to him. Hey, dude, I'm just telling you, I don't go around telling all my stories to everybody, but I'm going to tell you a story. I played that game. I pulled that trigger. There was a bullet in the chamber, and it took me out. You don't want to play that game. Think about your kids. Think about her family. Think about her. Think about what you're doing. It's not going to end well. It never does. And then you help turn someone. You say, well, I don't want to tell my stuff. Sometimes God redeems your stuff so you can tell your stuff and save someone else. All right, I'm almost done here. I'm running out of verses. So he comforts Bathsheba, goes and lays with her. She bore a son, called his name Solomon. And then this, I love these little phrases. Now the Lord loved him and sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Now Joab fought against Rabbah. Now look at, this is where I usually stop in the story. And I didn't stop this time. I kept reading myself even. Now Joab fought against Rabbah and the people of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David, David's back at home, and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city's water supply. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. Look at verse 29. So David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah, fought against it and took it. Now he's back in the fight. He's back where he should have been in the first place, or he wouldn't have been in this mess. Get back in the fight. Get up off your butt and do something. You say, well, I can't recover from this. I've made this horrible mistake. I can bury you with verses about adultery, and I didn't bring all those a day because I'm not trying to bury anybody. But if it's already happened, you can't change that. But you can recover from that and move forward and put systems in place. If you're prone to that, then get men, get people around you. You say, well, yes, I have accountability. I've got four women. I'm a guy and I got four women that I'm accountable to about this. Like, oh, that's brilliant. And they ask me how I'm doing and how I'm feeling. And get you some men that'll kick your butt. That's what you need around you. And get you some women who'll do the same thing if you're a woman. You say, well, I would never cheat. You know what? A lot of women say that and then end up in a place like, how did I get here? Because some guy took you apart. I know guys, I know these men personally who literally know how to do it. They don't walk up to you and just take your head off. They work it. They'll take a year, take you apart. This isn't just a guy thing. A lot of men cheat with women. Isn't that interesting? So women, pay attention. Ends up back on the battlefield where he was supposed to be in the first place.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Hebrews chapter 13:4, listen to this. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators, and the word for fornicator here in the Greek is pornos. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. It doesn't mean he won't forgive. It just means there is consequence. And then my last comment is out of Proverbs 18:22. And it says this: he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I know what that verse means, because I found a wife and it is a good thing still. And it is like finding favor from the Lord.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.